Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
So it's very sad when you sit around waiting for mom to make dinner and then you realize you are the mom. Have you ever had that happen? How about, I asked to switch seats on a plane because I was sitting next to a crying baby. Evidently, that doesn't work if the baby is yours. Yes. All right. Well, I know that statistically, Mother's Day can be a day that most of us can even skip church sometimes, depending on our season of life. And I want to recognize that this might not be just a celebratory day. Maybe you lost a mother. Maybe you aren't a mother. Maybe the word mom brings a lot of trauma with it. And I just want you to know that there is space here for you today. I love this list of people from the Bible that had interesting experiences with moms, just so we know we're not alone. Some of us, like Eve, have had children with serious rivalry. Some of us, like Naomi, have lost a child. Some of us, like Hagar, are mothering alone. Some of us, like Hannah, have had a child that took years to conceive or are still waiting. Some of us, like Joseph, adopted a child. Like Mary, have had a complicated pregnancy story. Or like Joseph and Benjamin, aren't moms and experience the death of their mother. And I always love reading that list on Mother's Day because everybody's stories here is different, but your story is not alone. Even if there isn't a story like yours in the room, there's a story like yours right in the Bible. And so I encourage you, if you're struggling today, open up that scripture and find the person in the Bible that has a similar story to yours and find comfort, find strength, and find out what they learned about themselves and God in their journey. All right? So I just want to bring that home today. We are in week two of our Living on Purpose theme, and last week we talked about what does purpose equal to you, and what purpose equals to you will define your legacy, and it will define how you spend your life. And we talked about how if purpose equals self-condemnation, or purpose equals obligation, or purpose equals some other things that we talked about last Sunday, that really living on purpose doesn't sound like a very great month of focus for our church. It sounds like a very stressful and overwhelming month. And so I encourage you, if you're struggling with what purpose actually means, to check out on our podcast last week's sermon, Thrive Church NY. It's on Spotify, Apple, I guess it's Apple Music, anything like that, because I get into what purpose actually means in a good way. And that's very important. But today, we're going to talk about purpose and what moms can teach us about purpose. Our definition of purpose this month is being with Jesus, believing like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. And I'm not trying to hyper-spiritualize the word purpose. I just happen to know that the most purpose-driven and the most purpose-filled person that ever walked the planet was named Jesus. So if I'm being with him, if I'm being like him, and if I'm doing what he did, I'm going to find my purpose. And the best part about it is Jesus was a carpenter, right? He stopped for the one, he healed people, and then he died, and he rose again, and he's coming back. Amen? And he didn't skip ahead. So he showed us that there is purpose in every stage of our life, in our careers, in our ministry. And if that ministry is our career, some of us are called to be in the business or in the government or in the medical field. And we're actually called to be with Jesus, be like Jesus, and do what Jesus did right there. Right? So nobody is disqualified from purpose in God. Our key verse is Habakkuk 2:14, which says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now, last Sunday, we talked about this. Again, I'm just going over some because I want to catch us up together. How many know you hear something for the first time, you don't necessarily remember it? Some people have asked me what I preached on Monday, and I'm like, give me just a second. Hold on. I need a cup of coffee. Let me remember what I preached, right? So I like to go over this a couple times together so we get something out of it. "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." If you are into being an artist or into more ethereal things, more spiritual things, that sounds very abstract, right? The earth will be filled. And we often use words like a rainstorm or come like a flood, or, right, you call me out on the oceans. But how many know that when you are going into your 9-to-5 job as a mechanic, you have no idea what you call me out on the oceans is supposed to look like when you're trying to fix a leak in a car, right? You don't want to say you call me out on the oceans right then. And so I think it's very important that when we talk about for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, we're not just talking about some abstract thing out here. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord can look like solutions to doctors. It can look like strategy for parenting. It can look like wisdom in school, right? It can look like peace in an anxiety attack. The glory of the Lord is practical. It sets you free from addiction. It heals broken relationships. It's real, it's practical, and it's supernatural. And the minute we call God only supernatural, and then we say, well, I'm a practical person. I got to do my practical thing. We box God out of the very thing he died to give us, which is purpose in our daily lives, right? So who here has ever tried to change your habits? Anybody? And I know I always ask for raising of the hands. If you're new here, you're going to get really annoyed at me fast. You don't have to raise your hand. I don't like to raise my hand when I'm sitting there, so it's okay. But if you do, that's great. We all have strong arms here at Thrive. So if you've tried to change your habit and you haven't fulfilled it, you're in a good company, right? I have tried to do that multiple times, specifically with working out. And as you can tell, I'm not exactly a weightlifter quite yet, right? But the issue is this. We will never change our habit without changing our priorities, right? And we'll never change our priorities without discovering our purpose. And we'll never discover our purpose without realizing what we really believe. So I love what Steve Backlund says. He says, belief turns to purpose, turns to priorities, turns to habits, and then I added in, of course, life change, right? And the issue is we all go after the life change. I want my finances to change. I want my kids to change. I want my marriage to change. I want all this to change. But if we never go back to what we believe, we will never actually change. And we can try to change our habits, but how many know habits are great until you get out of bed in the morning, right? That's what I'm like, this is going to be great when I'm going to bed and I wake up, I'm like, oh, you know? And it's because if I don't believe something different, I'm never going to change. I am not talking about the power of positive thinking in a light way. I just want to clarify that, right? I am talking about how it says faith without works is dead. Right? So we need to believe, and then we need to put into practice what we believe. It takes both, and that's very important. You can't just be sitting there believing something, right? You'll go nowhere fast. But some of us, especially some of our high ambitious personalities, I'm very into that, right? You heard the word purpose this month. We're living on purpose this month. And you got very excited. You were like, this is great. We're going to overhaul all my habits. We're going to switch up everything. And I will be a new person by May 31st, right? Any high achievers in the room, that is totally me. I was like, this is great. And then as I've been studying this, right, because I'm learning with you guys and sharing some of my testimony here, I'm realizing, ooh, I think we better rewind a couple of steps here, or May 31st is going to come, and I'm going to be right back where I was May 1st, because I never got to the root of why I'm not living on purpose, right? And so I want to get real with you. This is a very practical month in the Bible. If you don't believe you are worth a purpose, you will never live on purpose. If you don't believe you can succeed in your job, you're going to have a hard time succeeding, not because it's all about what you believe, but what you believe can sometimes limit how far you are able to work, right? You give up easier. You don't try as hard, or maybe you don't go for the test, or you don't go to talk to that person when you really should have, right? If I don't believe that I can be a good wife, I'm going to prove myself right. Have you ever believed that you're not going to be something, and then you turn out you're not? And you're just like, well, there, I was right all along. And God's like, well, I actually had a whole idea for you here, but it required the mustard seed of faith to believe something a little different, right? And so that's what we're talking about. Did you know that you are expecting today? right? Caleb, did you know? How many know gender reveal parties are like all the rage? I Googled this this week, which was, it was a traumatizing Google. I'm not sure I should recommend it, but I literally watched a hippopotamus chomp on a watermelon. So the watermelon would then like chomp in two, and it was blue, and they were having a boy, and they were all excited. And I was like, what did I just watch, right? The next clip that I did not watch was an alligator chomping on something. I hope it was a vegetable or a fruit. It was very traumatizing. How about confetti cannons? Have you ever seen the ones that go the wrong direction? I'll just leave it at that. Nobody? Okay, that's just me. It's a very painful video to watch. Or the piñatas, or how about the balloons, and they go to like hit it, and then it floats away. And it's like, and there goes the gender right up into the sky, right? Or how about like the fireworks? Have you ever seen a gender reveal party where you're like, how many thousands of dollars did they just waste on that moment, right? They could have gotten their kid to college at Cornell or something, right? But everybody always wants to know, what are you expecting, right? What are you expecting? What are you expecting? And when we're living on purpose, that is the most important question we could ask. What are you expecting? What are you expecting when you wake up? What are you expecting when you look at your spouse? What are you expecting when you look at your boss? What are you expecting when you look in the mirror? What are you expecting, right? So we're going to break this down into two ways that moms teach us to live on purpose and hopefully teach us to expect something a little different than some of us have been expecting, all right? So number one, I made it seeds because of these seeds. God bless Natalie. We should have everyone with a green thumb raise their hand at the end, and you can get all the seeds of those of us who have burned thumbs. That's what I like to call my thumb. So the seed of courage. Everyone shake your seed if you got your seed pack. There we go. Now I need to do a Spanish dance or something, right? What are they called? The macar. No, that's not Spanish. Maracas, yes. No one wants to see me dance to that, but it'd be very fun. So the seed of courage. Everyone say courage. So living on purpose with the right kind of expectation requires courage. How many know that's really true? How many have expected something and you're like, I did expect something good, but something good didn't happen, right? And now it's taking every ounce of courage for me to just show up again because now I don't know what to expect, right? Let's be real here today, right? I love Acts 9. Talks about somebody in the Bible that we don't actually know a ton about, and we only hear their name. Their name is mentioned a few other times, but it's because they have multiple people named the same person in the Bible, so don't get confused. But we have a significant portion of New Testament written by one of the famous early church leaders named Paul, right? But there would be no Paul without a man named Ananias. So in Acts chapter 9, we have Saul encountering Jesus in a vision, right? And he's blinded. And then Saul is stuck blind and isn't eating or drinking for 3 days because he was so encountered by God. And then God speaks to a believer in Damascus named Ananias. Chapter 9, it says, the Lord told him, this is Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. I love that, Straight Street. How would you like the name of your road to be in the Bible for 2,000 years? I just think that's fun. I don't know. Straight Street, look, and ask for a man named Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias replied, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. This is kind of like if a terrorist came and then Pastor Pat is like praying over here and God's like, actually, I want you to go and you're going to go meet the terrorist and he's waiting for you. Now, I believe in Pat's prayer, but how many know that takes some courage, right? But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, brother Saul, I love that. Now that's some courage to call that man a brother. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Sometimes we think living on purpose is going to look like the life of Paul. Anyone ever want to be Paul? I always wanted to be a Paul when I was a kid. I don't know why, but I was like, let's go. I want to be Paul. And I've been to Corinth, and I've been to Philippi. I've been to Greece, where some of these letters went, and it's amazing. And I've always wanted to be like Paul. But some of us discount ourselves because some of us are actually called to be Ananias. And I don't know about you, but there are a lot of praying moms that are the reason a lot of us are here. And if your mom was absent in your life, it may not have been your physical mom, but there was another woman in your life that was praying. Who can testify to that, right? It's a legacy that a lot of moms and mom figures have. And it takes courage because Ananias made it possible for Paul's ministry. So it takes courage to live on purpose. Like a mom chooses to believe there is life inside of her, it's our choice whether we will believe there is life inside of us and each other, right? So instead of saying, well, I'm not going to be a Paul, my marriage won't look like that marriage, my kids won't ever look like their kids, I won't ever be able to reach this goal like they did, instead of saying that, another question is, who can I encourage today? Who can I fill with courage? Who can I take my seat of courage and help build someone else up? And that requires living on purpose, right? Are you following? If we were known as the most encouraging church in the entire state of New York, what difference could we make in New York? I'm not talking about frilly encouragements that are empty. I'm talking about asking God, God, what piece of your identity is in that person, and how can I affirm that today? Even when they can't see it, I'm going to see it, right? I've been in the room when an ultrasound happens and a mom sees the heartbeat for the first time, and that nurse says, look, there's a heartbeat. We're called to say, look, there is a heartbeat. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Don't give up. There's a heartbeat. His heartbeat is still beating inside of you. His heartbeat is still beating in your family. Don't give up. We're called to speak courage, to encourage, right? But some of us heard that the theme is love grows here, right? That's the theme of today's Mother's Day that Pastor Natalie chose. And some of us came through the door and did not feel that love was growing here. And maybe it had something to do with your car ride over, right? Maybe it had something to do with the way you woke up feeling. Maybe it has something to do with what Mother's Day represents to you. And all of that can be summed up in the word discouragement, right? It's literally the opposite of courage or encouragement. And it's one of the greatest thieves to purpose. I think if there's one mountain that hits me in the face the most is the mountain of discouragement. And I really felt as I was writing this message today that God wanted to restore discouraged hearts. God wants to set free hearts today that feel like they're stuck in a negative cage and they can't get out. And so if that's you and you're wondering why you're here, God wants to set you free today. My husband, when he comes home from work, doesn't expect a 5-course dinner from me, right? Why? Because he is basing that on past experience, let me tell you, right? How many know that a lot of times what we expect is based on our past experience? The Apostle Peter dealt with discouragement a ton, and he shows us that discouragement causes us to compromise, right? Peter cut off a guard's ear. You could call that compromise, depending on how you're looking at it theologically. It causes us to be quiet. Peter denied Christ 3 times and also causes us to withdraw and escape because Peter was hiding after Jesus' death. Discouragement will do funny things to you, right? But discouragement will also make you base your expectations on your experience or your past trauma instead of what God is doing. And that's very dangerous because when we base our theology of who God is based on our experience, we're limiting God to who we are instead of basing our experience on who God is. Right? I love this scripture. So after Jesus is resurrected, he shows himself to the disciples multiple times. But this time in John 21 was specifically for Peter. It says, "But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus." Some of us today are so discouraged that Jesus is standing on the shore of your purpose, looking at you, and you don't know it's Jesus. You've been through so much today that you don't understand that that's him standing there. But it goes on in John 21, verse 15. "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.'" If you know the scripture, it goes on a couple times. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, right? On the other side of Peter's greatest disappointment in God and in himself, right? How many know Peter wasn't exactly grade A on his response to Jesus' death, right? He denied Jesus three times, right? He was disappointed in himself. He was also disappointed in God because he thought that Jesus was going to come and conquer the political nightmare they were in and set everyone free. Does that sound familiar? No matter what political view you have right now, right? We all kind of want to be free. And Peter had some very high expectations of God that didn't get met. So he was discouraged. But on the other side of that discouragement, Jesus gave him his purpose. He said, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Moms teach us that often purpose is found on the other side of some of our very greatest pain. If you've ever been there when a baby is born, I'm told that is some of the greatest pain. But a mom knows that on the other side of that pain is a whole new purpose. Not just for her, but for generations to come. And when you're living on purpose and you're living with courage, you know that your choices and your life isn't just for you. And the pain you're going through right now isn't just a dead end, but it's actually a runway for your purpose. Right? Are you following me? So I'm almost done here. I just happen to know the kids are still hands in dirt. So Galatians 4, "My children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." Who has felt like they're just in a lot of, it's like you're just in this pain because you have so deep prayers and you have so deep dreams for your life or for our region for what God could do? Has anyone ever felt that way? That's a feeling that goes way back to Galatians, right? You know, some of us have been abused here. Some of us have had things happen to us that we never chose. Some of us have faced illnesses and circumstances. And I want to just remind you today that you have purpose. That on the other side of this pain, there is a new purpose. And to not stop in the middle, don't build a house in the middle of it. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." That word poor also means worthless. And some of us today feel worthless or are prisoners to addiction or a stronghold. Some of us are blind or oppressed by a battle that no one is seeing today but us. And the issue is this: if we only base our expectations on what our experience is, then our expectations are going to be more worthlessness. It's going to be more oppression. It's going to be more addiction. And instead, God is asking, will you exchange your past experiences for what I can do, for my purpose, right? In your marriage, in your finances, in your health, in your life choices. Living on purpose requires a seed of courage in God's goodness. So when what we want doesn't happen when we want or with who we want or where we want or how we want, we can have a 3-day strong trust with God, that 3 days that lasted from the crucifixion to the resurrection. That's the kind of courage I need right now in my life. Is anybody with me? We need a 3-day strong courage. I don't need just a courage to get up and get through my day. I need a courage that's going to take me from the crucifixion, from the death of a purpose that I thought was going to happen, all the way to how God is working all things together for my good because I love him. Are you following? We need a 3-day strong courage. What is going on around you and what has been done to you does not define your purpose. It is what is inside of you. How many know there are moms in concentration camps back in World War II? I've been to the refugee camps in Greece and seen the moms in Lesbos. And I've seen moms in hospitals, right? We've seen moms in peace. We've seen moms in palaces. What's going on around her, her environment, does not define her purpose. Right? It's what is inside of her. Amen. And some of us need to be reminded of that. Matthew 17 says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible. You know, I looked it up, and a baby at 4 weeks is the size of a mustard seed. How many know it takes the courage of a mom to realize that that baby isn't going to stay the size of a mustard seed? She has great expectations, right? Not because of anything she can do in her own strength, but because God has designed something inside of her and is designing something inside of her, right? It's incredible. It's a miracle, right? So why don't you stand on your feet this morning? My time's up. Moms have courage. I think moms might have the greatest courage on earth. And I know Father's Day is going to come around, and we're going to say some awesome things about fathers and men, whether you're a dad or not. You're a man of God, and there are fathers in the kingdom of God, right? But moms have some of the greatest courage, and not just human moms. Elephants are pregnant for 22 months and give birth to a 200 to 250-pound baby. I have a new, very, very spiritual prayer. It is, give me the courage of a mother elephant while she is waiting 22 months overcoming discouragement of lack of results. Put that on a bumper sticker. Give me the courage of an elephant, right? But imagine what would happen if that elephant gave up on month 15. You know, some of us today have given up on month 15 of our purpose. And God is saying, I've got a 250-pound baby elephant at 22 months, right? I have questions for God on elephants, poor elephants, right? But my question to you today is, what area have you let discouragement try to steal your purpose? What would it look like to live with Jesus, believe like Jesus, and do what Jesus did or does in that area? And if you don't know what Jesus would do in that area, get your Bible out, talk to a pastor. Let's get real. Let's get practical and supernatural, right? But the second question is, who are you called to encourage in your life right now? I have an entire second point that I'm not going to preach today. Come next Sunday. It'll be great. I was going to talk to you about Grandmother Lewis in the Bible, but we're not going to get to Grandmother Lewis. But Grandmother Lewis is a great woman of faith, and we'll talk about her maybe next Sunday. But I just want to bless you today. For anybody who is feeling discouraged, I want to end with this quote from a mother in the Bible who I love to quote because she wasn't actually a physical mother in the Bible. And some of us today, whether you're a man or you're a woman that hasn't had kids, you might be wondering, you know, how do I actually do this in my life? And I love Esther because she was a mother of a nation. Says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. It's a very cliche verse, and I think it's too bad because it's one of the most powerful verses that a woman said in the Bible. Or I guess she didn't say it in the Bible, but she got told it, excuse me. And it fills you with courage. So I just want to pray a blessing over you as we end here. God, I thank you that we have Ananias's here. I thank you, God, that we have some of us that have felt like we're giving up on month 15. And it's not just because someone didn't sing our favorite song, but because a real purpose in our heart seems to be at that crucifixion point in the Easter story. God, I thank you for filling every heart that is feeling discouraged right now with 3 days strong courage. Father, I thank you that every generational negative stronghold is just breaking off in Jesus' name. I thank you for the legacy of courage that we can find in the Bible of men and women. And Father, I thank you that we can say yes. We can say yes to living on purpose because we can expect great things in you, God. We can expect third day miracles even on the first day of Easter. So we just choose courage this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.